Locally owned and operated.
The American people are waiting. Have you a statement?
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, continuing our verse by verse study through the Gospel of Luke. We finish up chapter 1, and we also should get into chapter 2. We pick it up today in Luke chapter 1, verse 57. And so let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along if you are able. It says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. And of course, we know that the son spoken of here is John the Baptist. It says, when it was time, God's time is the only time that matters. The sooner Christians learn that lesson, the better off they will be. We wouldn't fret so much and worry so much if we trusted in God's timing. Elizabeth and Zechariah no doubt wanted a son long before this, because they were both very much well along in years. So their time was much earlier than this, but this was God's time. And so they had their son, John the Baptist. 58. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Elizabeth was much older than most new mothers. She didn't have as many years to mother her child as most women do. But it looks as if she really enjoyed the time that she had. Lesson. Do not worry about what could have been, but was not. Do not worry about what should have been, but was not. Enjoy the moment you have. And enjoy what God gives you today, whatever that might be. 59. On the eighth day, they, that would be the friends and the neighbors, came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, which would be the norm. All of the friends and neighbors thought that Zechariah and Elizabeth would do the normal thing, which was to name the boy after his father, but God had different plans. 60. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. So, evidently, her husband Zechariah, even though he could not speak for 9 months because of that judgment from God, he communicated that their son's name should be John. 61. They said to her, they said to Elizabeth, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. You know, people sometimes think that since God has never done something in a particular way, that means he never will. But that's not true. God is very firm when it comes to moral standards and truth, but styles and methods can change. The only box that we can put God in is the box of his holy word. He'll never go against Scripture. And so the neighbors seem to be all shook up because the boy is not going to be named after his father. Well, I guess the lesson is this: be open to new things from God. 62. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Well, they don't take Elizabeth's word for it. She said his name is John, but they want to hear it from Zechariah, so they asked. He said, yeah, John, 64, immediately. His mouth was open, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. 9 months of discipline from God are over. And the first thing Zechariah does is praise God. He was being disciplined by God because he didn't believe Gabriel when Gabriel gave him the word of God. See, that's how important it is to God that we believe his holy word. So he wasn't able to speak for 9 months. But he praises God when the discipline is over. God's discipline is never any fun. But it is the best thing that can happen to us when we need it. And since that's true, the correct thing for us to do is to praise God when we are in the midst of his discipline and when it's over. 68. That's what he said. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And of course, he is speaking the word of God here. And he's talking about the Savior in verse 69 when he says, God has raised up a horn of salvation. In scripture, horn represents power. And so he is saying that a strong Savior is about to be born, talking about Jesus. And Jesus certainly is a strong Savior. He's strong enough to save any sinner who repents. He's strong enough to throw the devil and his followers into hell when this world comes to an end. 69 and 70. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago. And so God's prophets had been predicting the coming of the Savior since the beginning of the world, since Adam and Eve sinned. And now it's about to come to pass. Here he goes in verse 71. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. The us refers to God's people. Today, that would be Christians. Christians have enemies, both in the physical and in the spiritual realm. Someone says, well, I don't think a Christian should have any enemies. Well, I guess that's news to Jesus. Because Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If you're living for Christ and you're speaking the truth of God's word, you are going to rub some people the wrong way. You are going to rub some people the wrong way, and sometimes they can get very nasty. And history is full of examples of Christians who have been burned at the stake and suffered other types of horrible deaths because they would not recant their faith in Jesus Christ. And God says he will save us from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Verse 72. To show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. 2,000 years before Christ, God promised Abraham with an unconditional promise that the Savior of the world would be his descendant. That promise has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. 74. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. What does Jesus do for his people? He rescues us from the hand of our enemies and he enables us to serve him. Now, you can break down the salvation that Jesus provides for Christians into two categories, okay? Outward and inward. The outward will be realized when we Christians are in our new bodies on the new earth after Resurrection Day. No enemies, no pain, no sickness, no lack of energy, no sadness, no death. That's the outward part. That's in the future. the inward or the spiritual part of our salvation is right now. It's ours right now. It includes immediate and complete forgiveness of all of our sins in Christ. It includes victory over any sin, no matter how ingrained it may be in us. We are free to live holy and free to enjoy God if we want to. That's part of the salvation that Jesus provides for his people. 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him. So now Zechariah is prophesying the word of God, and he speaks about his own son who was just born. Many Old Testament prophets predicted the coming of the Savior, but John's ministry was unique because he actually introduced the Savior to the world. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. 77. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. John was a tough preacher, as we will see. But his preaching was full of mercy as well. He called sin, sin. John the Baptist preached, repent, or you will not escape the wrath of God. But John also preached salvation from hell through the forgiveness of sin. He preached judgment, but he preached forgiveness. And both are important. No one ever gets saved unless the Holy Spirit convinces them that they are damned first. And that feeling of condemnation because of our sins brought on by the Holy Spirit is what produces repentance. And repentance produces forgiveness. That's why there is no excuse for any preacher who doesn't preach against sin. He doesn't preach sin, damnation, and forgiveness also through Jesus Christ, like John the Baptist did. 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Jesus is the guide. Like Zechariah prophesied here, he has come to guide our feet to the way of peace. He guides us to the place where we will have peace with God if we follow him. You know, the world looks for peace in everything except the one place where it is found, Jesus. It's true. The Bible says there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. If the world would just quit rebelling against God and would start following the Savior, it would have the peace that it's been looking for. You say, yeah, but there's been wars between religion. Yeah, but I guarantee you, they may call themselves Christians, Christian denominations, or whatever it may be. And there have been religious wars between different Christian sects. But I guarantee you, they were not following the Lord. Jesus was not guiding them. It was their own fleshly lusts and their desire for power, or whatever the case may be. But it wasn't the Savior who was guiding them. He would not have guided anyone to pick up the sword and to kill in his name. That's not how God operates. Verse 80. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. And that was John the Baptist, all right. Basically, it was John and the wilderness and God for years. All John had was God. And as a result, he learned from experience that God is all you need. The only way to learn that God is all we need is to get to the place where God is all we have. Otherwise, you don't know that. You can know it in your head, but you don't know it deep down in your knower. And until we are satisfied having God, and if need be, no one or nothing else, we really aren't in the place spiritually that God wants us to be. I'm not saying you can't have other people in your life. Of course, that's wonderful. But are we satisfied, if need be, just having God? Is he sufficient? If that isn't the case, then we're not in the place spiritually that God wants us to be. It's all John had. This is a good time for our break. So I'm going to take a break for a couple of minutes. Please listen to this. I'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
How do evolutionists explain where learning came from? The answer, next, on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
It appears that all animals have the ability to learn. This is because they need information about their surroundings that will help them predict other things about their surroundings. For example, honeybees know which types of flowers offer pollen at any given time. They don't waste their time checking out flowers that have nothing to offer. Scientists have been amazed at how a wide range of animals show two different types of learning. Even a garden slug can learn to avoid its favorite food through simple conditioning. However, many animals also learn from changes in their environment. Animals learn to expect different results if their schedule is changed, for example. Birds learn the songs their species sings by hearing their elders sing. They also learn regional variants of their species' songs. Scientists who believe in evolution are struggling to explain how the ability to learn could have evolved. They are struck by the fact that learning follows the same principles in pigeons, bees, and slugs. At the same time, they admit that they don't know how learning works. We need to ask, how could they know learning evolved if they don't even know how it works? The fact that they are sure the ability to learn could have evolved, even though they don't know how, shows that evolution is a faith and not a science. We learn a better faith when we go to the book that was written by the author of all learning. The Bible tells us about his will and explains that he offers us the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. I hope this verse-by-verse teaching that we do every Sunday morning is a blessing to you. I hope that it feeds your spirit, because that's the only reason I do it. I have no way of knowing, though, whether it is or not, unless you write me and let me know. I don't know if it's a blessing. I don't know unless I hear from you. So would you please just take a moment and drop me a line saying that this is a blessing to you, that you are learning the Word of God. I would appreciate hearing from you. My address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me, versebyverse@live.com. versebyverse@live.com. Would certainly love to hear from you. It would be a great encouragement to me. And also, this is a missionary project. It's home missions, getting out the Word of God to people right here in our area. So if you'd like to be a part of this ministry, you can be, with your prayers and your financial support. Thank you. Back to our study in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of Rome. Up until this time, Rome was a republic. But it was getting so big and so hard to manage as a republic that they became an empire with Caesar Augustus in charge. The Roman Senate gave him complete power, which is why he could issue a decree that everyone should be registered, and no one had a choice. You did it. And of course, it looked like Augustus had it all, and he was the most powerful man in the world. But when you think about it, Everything that he had was temporary. It was tinsel. He had the temporary applause of temporary people who lived in his temporary empire in this temporary world, and then he died and went to hell, where he has been for 2,000 years, going on forever, because as far as we know, he rejected Christ. That's a bad deal. And so it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Every Israelite was forced to leave their home and their work and return to the original hometown of their ancestors to register for this census. This was not convenient, but they had no choice because they were ruled by Rome. And you know what? We are born to bow. God warned Israel way back in Old Testament days that if they did not obey him and submit to him, then they would submit to a foreign country. And that's why they are under the control of Rome right here. We are born to bow. If we do not bow to God, then we will bow to sin and we will bow to man. If we do not serve God, then we will eventually serve sin. The Bible says the sin that so easily entangles us. If we don't submit to the rule of God, then we will submit to the rule of man and to the rule of sin. Anarchy is not an option because God is a God of order. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Joseph had to make an 80-mile journey to Bethlehem in order to register. And I have a feeling that not just Joseph, but probably every Israelite was saying, sure wish God was in control instead of Rome. But you know what? God was in control. He was working behind the scenes. Example, it's true. The order to go to Bethlehem came from Caesar, but God made it happen in order to fulfill the Old Testament scripture which predicted that his son would be born in Bethlehem. See, it was inconvenient, certainly, but it was God's will. And that's good to remember. For Christians, inconveniences are a part of God's will. And so as Christians, we may not always like what happens to us, but we should remember that whatever it is, God has allowed it, and he wants to use it. 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And believe me, this was not easy. If you are Joseph and you are Mary, you don't find anything good in this situation, at least not on the surface, because she's expecting her child any minute. And this is an 80-mile journey during the rainy season on the back of a donkey. And so on the surface, it's all bad. On the surface, probably none of it makes sense, but underneath it all, God is fulfilling prophecy. Mary and Joseph are right in the middle of God's perfect will. Now, they knew that they would be the parents of God's son, and I'm sure they look forward to that. But I doubt that they expected the road that would get them there would be this difficult. Isn't that true of us? Our future as Christians is wonderful. We're going to have a great reunion with friends and loved ones who know Christ. We're going to have a brand new body and live on a brand new earth, and it's going to be wonderful. However, the road that gets us from here to there has a lot of potholes and ditches and a lot of other things that we would probably rather avoid. 6. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, things just went from bad to worse. The good news is they were right in the middle of God's will. The bad news is, when they arrived in Bethlehem, there wasn't a room anywhere to be rented. Now, it was very difficult for Mary, but I think it was very difficult for Joseph also. Because remember, he loved Mary. And I'm sure that he wanted her to be comfortable. And he wanted the baby, who is the Son of God, to have it nice. He wanted things to be good for Jesus as well. But look at the situation that they find themselves in. And I'm not saying this happened, but I'm just putting myself in Joseph's place, and I wonder, given the circumstances, I wonder if Joseph thought, okay, Lord, where did I go wrong? Where did I sway from your path? At what point did I deviate from your will? Where did I miss you, God? I must have missed your will somewhere along the line, or we would be in better circumstances than we are in, with your son about to be born. We wouldn't be in this terrible predicament. But you know what? They were right in the middle of God's will. Remember this. Personal comfort isn't always included in God's will. That's why, knowing we are in God's will, because we are not breaking his moral law, must be enough reward all by itself. Rest in that. And when you fail God spiritually, you commit sin, confess and accept his forgiveness, because he forgives you as a Christian immediately. Questions, comments, you can write me. Scripture verse by verse, post office box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's scripture verse by verse, post office box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or again, you can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. You can also call and leave a message, 715-845-8298. That's 715-845-8298. Your questions, your comments, your prayer requests are always welcome. And again, I would love to hear from you. Very important that I know you're out there and that this is a blessing to you. I pray that it is. If you're looking to study the Word of God further, you can do that at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And that can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the entire Bible online using my audio Bible commentaries. And if you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Till next week, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.